Hello everyone and welcome to EMBC Church at Home on Sunday the 12th of July, and it is great to have you connecting with us today. Let me remind you, if you go on our church website, then there's some great resources there for children and for families. You know, over the last few weeks things have been changing quite a lot, and there's been an easing up in the lockdown, and we've been thinking about what that means for us as a church family, and we are hoping to have the church office open soon so that the staff can get back working down there. And we also, as a senior leadership team, made the decision to invest in the equipment that will enable us to live stream our services in the future. This is actually something we've been chatting about before lockdown, but we recognise that as we go forward, it might be that, you know, a certain amount of people are able to gather on a Sunday, and therefore we would live stream a service so that everyone can still kind of connect and watch the service. So it's still a very fluid situation that we're all experiencing, I mean, even in your own context that you're in. But we would continue to value your prayers as we just think through going forward as a church as things start to ease up somewhat. One of the great things we have been doing on a Sunday just now, though, is hearing from lots of people across the church through the media clips that have been getting sent in. And that is what we're going to do now. And let's enjoy just hearing from some more folks within EMBC.
Good morning, Eastmeath Baptist Church. My name's Lindsay, and I just wanted to share something that I've been doing over lockdown in this period. This is a bit of a clue because I'm in the kitchen, and beside me are some muffin cases waiting to be filled later on. I've been enjoying baking for family, for friends, some of the church family, and for our neighbours here in Harrington Road. Baking's just something that I really enjoy doing, but I did feel God saying to me that to do it not just for my own enjoyment, but also just to be a blessing to others and show something of His love, particularly to our neighbours. So I'm on the second batch of baking for the 15 households in Harrington Road, in this side of Harrington Road where we live, and it's just been lovely getting to meet some of our neighbours who I maybe don't know so much, just with the normal routines of life. You sometimes just don't get to meet or talk to or get to know some of the neighbours in our streets. So it's been nice to do that on the doorsteps. And also on Thursday nights when we were clapping for the NHS, it was lovely just to be able to talk a wee bit more and feel that you had got to know them a little bit better. And just get to chat about some other things as well. So. Yeah, that's what I've enjoyed doing. I also enjoy time in here because, yeah, it's maybe a wee bit of sanity being on my own in the kitchen. And I'm in here a fair bit through the day, feeding the hungry hordes. And I enjoy listening to UCB2 on Alexa. I just enjoy listening to a lot of the interviews and podcasts and more, mostly just the lovely worship music that's played. So. I enjoy my times with God in here, and yeah, it's just something I've enjoyed doing through lockdown. Thank you.
Hi guys, my name's Hannah. I thought I'd give you a wee update about what I've been doing during lockdown. So just before lockdown, I got a new job in the community in Paisley. So until the end of April, I was working in an orthopaedic trauma ward in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. So that was kind of the peak of the coronavirus, and that was a really stressful time for me and my colleagues. Things were changing every day. And then I moved to the community at the end of April, working with the district nurses, and I'm absolutely loving it. This has been a real answer to prayer because I've wanted to be a community nurse since I started my nursing, and I just want to thank you to all the people in the church that were praying for me about that job. Since I've arrived here, I'm absolutely loving it. I feel like I've got more time for my patients and it's more person-centred. One thing I would say though is that a lot of other services in the community are not really operating. So GPs aren't seeing patients as often, care packages have been reduced, people's families who maybe live a bit further away aren't seeing people. So if I was to ask for any prayer requests, it would be that these services start up again. Even things like we dementia clubs, befriending services, these are all important for vulnerable people in the community. I also just want to pray for all health workers and key workers. I feel like we are very kind of done in at the minute, and you know, we're working so hard and we just don't want to reverse all the hard work, and we just want things to keep looking up. So just to pray for that. I want to thank you so much for all the people in the church that have been praying for me. I've received some really nice messages and some cards. I've really felt God watching over me, especially since I'm living with my parents and they're a wee bit older, so I'm just glad that I didn't pass anything on to them. I hope you all have a good Sunday. Thank you so much for all your prayers.
Good morning, East Mains Baptist Church, from our spare room, which has been my home office for the past 3.5 months and probably will be for the foreseeable future at the moment. We don't know when we're going to be going back into our office. I actually went into the office on Friday morning to collect a few things from my locker for the first time in 3.5 months, and it was quite interesting. There's very few people there and it was really deserted, but I collected some of the food that had been in my locker for the past 3 months. Luckily it was only some it hadn't gone mouldy, so it wasn't too bad. We've been getting used to lockdown and hopefully getting used to it being relaxed a bit over the past few weeks and the rest of this month. The good news is that it means we'll be able to go down to Nottingham to see my parents in a couple of weeks' time, because it's their 50th wedding anniversary on the 25th of July, and we had planned to meet up with all my family in Centre Parks in Penrith, which unfortunately is not going to happen, but we are going to be able to see my brother and his family and my parents for a couple of days at the end of the month. We also want, as well as an update from the family, I want to also realise that now we can move around a bit more. It's possible for that people are wanting to find some new reading material and things you want to read over the next few weeks. And as we can take contactless payments in the East Maidens bookshop, I just wanted to make a few book recommendations and let you know that you can buy them through me if you would like to. Either send me an email or send me a text message or a WhatsApp message and we can make arrangements. Those of you who've bought books before will know that I've got a little contactless card payment thing which we can do at our house, or there are other ways of doing it where I can send you a link and you can pay online. So I've just got a few books which I had actually bought before lockdown and was planning to have a bookstall around Easter, but obviously that didn't happen. So there's just a few. One of the books we have been we've talked about a couple of times is How to Pray by Peter Gregg, which Mark recommended when we were doing the sermon series on prayer. So I've still got a few copies of this left, and this is £10 if anyone's interested. And then three new books which we haven't had in the stall before. Each of them are £2. But if you want to buy all three, you can have all three for £5. So the first of them is Key Bible Concepts by David Gooding and John Lennox, which is talking about some of the basic terms of the Christian faith. So it's just explaining some of the really basic things that about the Christian faith, about holiness, about sin, about reconciliation, justification. So it's not a heavy read, but it has some of those key points there. The second one is Christianity, Opium or Truth, by the same two authors, David Gooding and John Lennox. Some of you may have heard John Lennox in some of his presentations online, or if you listen to Premier Radio, he's sometimes referenced there. And this talks about, provides some answers to some of those really difficult questions that people ask, like, don't all religions lead to God? The problem of pain, that's also £2. And then finally, with a book by Mark Mittelberg, which is one really interesting one, The Questions Christians Hope No One Will Ask Them. And so this book goes through some of the questions that you might be asked. Maybe you've been talking to some of your friends or family about Christianity or your faith over during lockdown. Maybe you've found it easier to have conversations, I don't know. So this book just gives some thoughts as to how you can answer some of those questions. chapter one is what makes you show sure that God exists at all, especially when you can't see, hear or touch him. And so it provides some information in that. But then also it has some questions for group discussion. So maybe you could discuss it with some of your Christian friends, or maybe help you think through some answers, some questions that your non-Christian friends may have asked you. Like I said, these three books are £2 each, or if you buy the whole bundle, it's £5. So if you send me an email or get in touch with me on Facebook or send me a text message or on WhatsApp, we can work out how we can get the books to you. I'm not going to offer to deliver them to everybody, because I know some people live outside East Kilbride. But if we can make arrangements for that to happen somehow. Thanks, and have a good weekend.
Hi, I'm Emma Jackson, National Director of Christians Against Poverty here in Scotland. And I'm talking to you from our kitchen. I'm at home in the rural borders, just like all of you who are still at home during this coronavirus season. I just want to take a few minutes to talk to you about the work that we've been doing at Christians Against Poverty. Many of you are already supporters of ours. You pray for us. You give generously as a life changer, or you volunteer in your local CAP service. So first of all, thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support during this time. Coronavirus has affected us all. We've all experienced the storm. But the thing is, we're not all in the same boat. Those who live in poverty have been hit hardest by the storm of coronavirus. Life in lockdown has been much harder for those who live in poverty. And we recently just produced a piece of research, a paper called Life in Lockdown, that you can find on our website. We found out that those living in poverty during lockdown, life has been much more expensive for them. Delivery costs are higher and not really affordable. The use of cash is being rejected, and folks are really finding it very difficult. Loneliness and isolation is also a huge issue. 7 out of 10 clients told us that they were lonely and isolated before lockdown began. Can you imagine how life feels for them now? We also know that digital exclusion has been a huge issue for so many people in our communities right now, especially those who have financial difficulties, with 1 in 5 of our clients telling us that right now they don't have internet access. So if we know that things are really tough out there for those who are most vulnerable, what are we doing about it within Christians Against Poverty? We spent the first part of lockdown working really hard to adapt our services. If you know anything about us at CAP, you know that face-to-face is at the heart of what we do. So we've adapted, we've flexed, and through God's grace and his wisdom, we've been able to change our service. And we're now delivering our debt advice service through telephone appointments. Also, many of our group services, our job clubs, life skills and fresh start groups, they've been able to take their support online. Above and beyond the kind of normal stuff that you hear us doing, that the debt advice, helping people find jobs, we've been massively working with our church partners to lean into providing support for people on a one-to-one basis. Relational support, being that listening ear, that friendly face, that contact for people, and providing crisis emergency support through an emergency support fund. So that's perhaps been food aid, gas or electric top-ups, or mobile phone top-ups during this season. There's been lots for us to do, but we have been so inspired by the stories that we've heard from local churches as they reach out to love their communities and provide help and support. I want to tell you just one quick story of hope. About a family of five that a local debt centre and a local church in Dumfries and Galloway had been supporting, and they called to arrange a food parcel, and the mum told our debt coach the difficulties that they are having because their washing machine had broken, a real issue for a family at this time, and they just couldn't afford another one. So the debt centre manager put that request on the church prayer group, asked folks to pray into it to see if anything could be done. And within an hour, an almost brand new washing machine was provided for that family. The debt coach told the person, the mum and the family, that this was an answer to prayer, which the mum really did believe, and she's now engaging with online church. So just praise God for his faithful provision for that family, and praise God for the transformation and this hope that's now in that family as they begin to explore what life with Jesus is like. So what could you do to help support us in CAP during this season? We would love you to join us in prayer as we pray for the most vulnerable in our communities, those who have real needs, as we reach out to them and offer not just practical support, but the love and hope of Jesus. Pray for all of our services, all of our partner churches across Scotland, as we continue to do this work in this unusual and strange environment. Secondly, you can help us to get the message out there into local communities that our debt advice service is open for business and we are ready to support people. Dealing with debt right now isn't perhaps everybody's priority, and there's a temptation to put it to the side and ignore it. We want people to know that our free professional debt advice service is available right now for people who need help. So help us to get that message out. Tell anyone you know that's struggling with debt or financial problems during this season to call our free phone number on 0800 328 0006 and we can help them to begin their journey out of debt. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you for listening to the work that we're doing with Christians Against Poverty here in Scotland. I pray God's blessings upon you and your family. Bye-bye.
Fantastic. We love getting the clips in, and let me encourage you, I know it is a bit scary, but if you get your phone, turn it to landscape and send us in a message. It really, you know, folks are just loving hearing from everyone. So let me encourage you this week to think about sending us in a clip. We're going to come now to our time of worship together. And we know that a big part of worship is our giving. And I just want to say a massive thank you to you all for how you continue to give into the work of God through EMBC. If you would like to give, or you've maybe not been able to during lockdown, then if you go onto our website, you'll see a link there. But also you may want to just give Alec Marshall, our treasurer, drop him an email or give him a phone and he can give you some advice on how you can keep giving. I'm going to hand over to the worship team who are going to lead us in our worship today, and then Rory's going to bring us a message again from Genesis, the story of Abraham and Sarah and their faith to go. But before I do any of that, let us just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, that you died for our sins and that you rose again and that you have defeated the power of death and sin. Jesus, you bring us into a new life, and you say that you've come that we may have life, and life in all its fullness. May we know today the fullness of that life. We think back to Nehemiah, that prophet of old, servant of old, who said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And Jesus, as we come to worship now, may it be a celebration of you. May it be a declaration of how great you are, God. And may that then bring strength into our lives. So Spirit of the risen Lord, we pray that you just fall afresh in us now as we worship you for your glory in Jesus' name. Let us worship God together.
Down. Still meet together, not in person, but you know, we're still doing church in one way or another. I thank you that we can worship freely in our homes, and you know, come together and listen to your word as well. And I just pray for us just now, as you know, we are led into your word, that we just have the ears to listen to what it is that you're going to say to us this morning.
Good morning, church family, and everyone joining us this Sunday morning. I hope you're well and you know God's blessing. I'm joining you this morning from April's room. You can see our beautiful rainbow wallpaper and some rainbows up there. And don't look too closely at the wallpaper job. We finished our study through the book of Philippians, and Mark kicked us off last week, following the journey of Abram and Sarah. I'll just call them Abraham and Sarah for ease. Looking in Genesis, the faith to go. And we're going to be continuing journeying with Abraham and Sarah, looking at Genesis 12 and the beginning of Genesis 13 this morning. As we looked at and journeyed through Philippians, we encouraged the whole church to be reading through the book of Philippians. As Paul's in lockdown and thinking about ourselves in lockdown, and I got dozens of messages about how people had been encouraged and inspired and what God had been saying to them as we read through Philippians. So let's do that with Genesis. Let's be reading through Genesis together as church and familiarising yourself with the book of origins and all the narrative journey of Genesis. We'll be looking specifically at Genesis 11:25 in this journeying with Abraham and Sarah. But let's read through the whole of Genesis together. Did I say Philippians? I mean Genesis. Let's be reading through Genesis as God's church and keep up to date with each other. Though life groups aren't meeting together, just keeping up, you know, for what's God saying to you through Genesis. Have you been reading through it? Where are you at? Let's commit to reading the book together. And you can get an audio version of it as well on YouTube. And you can have David Suchet reading Genesis to you as you're doing the dishes or feeding the dog, whatever it is. But I know God will bless us as we do that. So we saw last week Abraham stepping out in faith as God leads him and sets out a path before him to leave the old behind and step in to the new. And Abraham does that, arrives in the land of God's calling and promise, sets up an altar, worships God, sets up his tent, and travels through this land of promise and covenant. So that's where we are at this morning, and we'll come to Genesis 12:10. So at this time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abram to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife Sarai, "Look, you're a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife. Let's kill him and we can have her.' So please tell them you're my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you." And sure enough, when Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarai's beauty. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, their king, and Sarai was taken into his palace. Then Pharaoh gave Abram many gifts because of her, likely proposal marriage gifts these would have been. Sheep, goats, cattle, male-female donkeys, male-female servants and camels. But the Lord sent terrible plagues upon Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh summoned Abram and accused him sharply. "What have you done to me?" he demanded. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She's my sister,' and allow me to take her as my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and get out of here." Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them off, And he sent Abram out of the country along with his wife and all of his possessions. Lord God, thank you for your word and its power in our lives to sanctify and to refine us through your Spirit, Lord. We pray that that would be so this morning, that you would open up our hearts, our minds, and our lives to your will, Lord. More of you, less of us, we pray. Amen. So if we can imagine this situation, I think it's something that all of us will be familiar with on some level. Imagine that God is leading you in a certain direction, down a certain path that's been affirmed through his word, through the church, through your prayer group, and through your conscience. You're certain God's leading you down this path, and you follow that path and God's leading, and everything starts great. You're on track and everything's exciting, and there's anticipation and so much. You're expecting so much. But as you journey down this path, you feel more and more uncertain about things. Things are getting unstable and you're more and more unsure about things because you're facing all sorts of obstacles and difficulties and challenges that you hadn't anticipated, that you didn't expect. Things aren't as easy as you thought they would be. And as you travel further down this path, you realize you're not going to end up where you thought you would when you started off this journey. So you decide, because of all these things, that you're going to change direction. You set up a plan to change the path that you're on. And that's what you do. You change the direction of your journey. But as soon as you do that, you realize that, in fact, you've made a big mistake. That in fact, God's leading had not changed. The only thing that changed was the circumstances that you faced and how you felt about these things, but God's leading had not changed. And that was, in fact, your faith giving in to fear. And that might sound familiar to many of us. In many ways, it sounds so familiar with where I've been. And we have two examples of Abraham's faith giving way to fear. It happens in two major ways. When Abraham sees the famine coming upon the land, he runs to Egypt, leaving the land that God had called him to, and he goes to Egypt. And then when they approach Egypt, he's worried and asks his wife Sarah to say that they're not married, that is her brother. This is Abraham's faith giving way to fear. So last week we saw God calling Abraham to go from his country, to leave his people, his father's household, to go where? God said, to the land that I will show you. Leave the old land behind, to the land that I'll show you. And we have Abraham arriving in this land and God showing him that this is the land of his call and promise in verses 6 and 7 of Genesis 12. Abraham arrives in the land of God's call. At the time Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." This is the land of God's promise and call. And Abraham sets up an altar and worships God and gives thanks, and then travels the land and sets up shop, sets up his tent. Things are good. Things are on track. But we see in verse 10, a severe famine strikes the land. Now, one of the major ways that we grow in faith, that we grow up in faith and mature, and our muscles of faith get stronger, is by God's testing. And we see in Job, and Job is a man who knows all too well the testing of God. Job says in Job 23 that as he tests, so God tests, I will come forth as gold. And this is an amazing image of God's refining and testing and sanctifying in our lives, making us like a precious metal, like gold. And it's a wonderful image, you know, as you put ore in a furnace and the flames and pressure of that furnace get rid of all the rubbish and things that are not good quality, and metal all fall away and comes out the other side as a precious metal. And this image is all throughout Scripture. We see in 1 Peter 1 that we'll face all kinds of trials and grief. And these have come upon us to prove the genuineness of our faith, of greater worth than gold, 1 Peter 1 says, which perishes, but our faith may result in praise and glory and honour when Christ Jesus is revealed. And there's a famous saying, I couldn't find who coined it, but the saying goes, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. As we face the figurative famines in this life, the pressures, the things that come upon us, the obstacles, as we follow God's call, know that he's using them. He is purposing them, as 1 Peter 1 says, to prove the genuineness of our faith and to build up our muscles of faith. You know, as Abraham saw the famine that was upon him, he realized he was unable himself to feed his people, to feed his wife, to feed himself. He was unable to do that. And when we face these opportunities, when we're out of depth, we're helpless to do things, we are unable. God uses that situation and these circumstances to keep us from relying on ourselves all the time and looking to ourselves and trusting in ourselves alone and helping us, making us look to him, rely on him, trust in him. Not our own plans, but trust in God's promises. And that is the lesson from this mistake of Abraham. Trust in God's promises. God's got you. Yeah, you're in God's hands. God is faithful. Whenever I'm facing challenges and a famine in this life, I find immeasurable comfort in reminding myself that this life is like a single drop of water in the ocean that is the eternity that awaits us, God's kingdom and the life that is to come, uninhibited by the fallenness of this world. This life is a blink of an eye, drop of water in the sea of eternity, a single grain of sand on the beach of eternity. It's like a dream that we will awake from one day to the reality, and it's more of a reality than this reality, if you're following what I'm saying, of God's kingdom. And the truth is that nothing in this life can separate us from the grace, love, life, and hope that we have in Christ. No matter how dark the valley is that we're in, no matter what famine is upon us, how unable we are ourselves, we are saved in Christ, and nothing can separate us from that amazing truth. Know that this morning. God's got you. Look to his promises. Trust in him and not our own plans. When things get tough and the pressure is on, let's remain in God's call. Remain where God has called you. This is what Abraham fails to do. Not remaining in the land that God had called him to, but he runs to Egypt. He flees. The Old Testament scholar Warren Wiersbe says, and this is so important, hear this, you are safer in a famine in God's will than in a palace outside of his will. That is the crux of it. Stay where God has called you, in the place that God has called you, with the people God's called you to, in the friendships, in the marriage, in the family, in the position where God has called you, is leading you. Stay in that calling and stay in that leading. Remain in him. And don't flee, as Abraham does going to Egypt, as if we can, if we remember Jonah, you know, fooling ourselves into thinking that we can outrun God. I think this is so relevant for us, for where we're at, you know, the pandemic, the lockdown, just being the start of it. We live in such a fallen world, and we're surrounded always by division, by sin, by fallenness, by unrest. Fix your eyes on God. Faith gives way to fear when our eyes fall from God onto the famine, onto the, for Abraham, what the Egyptians were going to do to him. Faith gives way to fear when our eyes fall from God, from his promises, from his faithfulness, from his word, onto the circumstances and situations that surround us. That's when faith gives way to fear. Fix your eyes, not on the challenges, obstacles, difficulties that surround us, but on the promises, on the word, on the truth of God. Look to him. And we see the second mistake Abraham makes is, you know, say you're my sister to Sarah, and deceiving the Egyptians about Sarah being his wife. And Abraham is anticipating what the Egyptians are going to do to him. You know, the famine was a realized danger for him, but this is an imagined danger, if you know what I'm saying. The Egyptians haven't said anything like that, but he imagines, you know, they will say this. Interesting, that's what he says. They will say this, you know. But in the previous verses, God has said, he will make me a nation, have descendants, I will be blessed. God had said this, but Abraham's mind is filled with, they will say this, they will do this. And faith gives way to fear. So what fills your mind? Is it, what if this happens? What if they do this? What if they do that? What if we lose everything? What if they say this? What if this comes out? You know, are our eyes fixed on the fear of man, or are our eyes fixed on the promises of God? There's a wonderful book that all the life group leaders got, I think it was at Christmas, and it's a book filled with God's promises. It's filled with scripture, and it's so encouraging every morning to just flick through it and read some of God's promises. But I mean, if you have a Bible, look through the Psalms. I'll speak with Duncan, see if we can get some of those books of God's promises. There are just a few pounds that we can try and get some of you, if you're interested in them. But look into Psalm 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. Cling to the promises of God. He is faithful. He is trustworthy. Not letting our eyes fall into the circumstances that we're filled with fear. Or Psalm 121, you know, he will not let our foot slip. He will not let harm come upon us. He will watch over your life. Cling to the promises of God. And don't be distracted by the famine, by the your perception of what others are thinking, and like Abraham was with the Egyptians. Trust God, look to him. He's got you. Don't plan your way around his promises. He's faithful. He is good. Stay in his calling. Stay on the path that he's called you to, with the people he has called you to. There's a great poem that I'm just going to read for us just now. I'll read some of it, and then I'll read some at the end. It goes, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you, where the arms of God cannot support you, where the riches of God cannot supply your needs, where the power of God cannot endow you. The will of God will never take you where the Spirit of God cannot work through you, where the wisdom of God cannot teach you, where the army of God cannot protect you, where the hands of God cannot mold you. Hear that this morning, that the will of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. So Genesis 13 to verse 17, I'll read. And a quick thought on it for us just now. So Abraham left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev, along with his wife and Lot, and all that they owned. Abraham was very rich in livestock and silver and gold. From the Negev, they continued traveling by stages toward Bethel. and they pitched their tents between Bethel and Ai, where they had camped before. This was the same place where Abraham had built an altar, and there he worshipped the Lord again. Lot, who was travelling with Abraham, had also become very wealthy with flocks and sheep and goats and herds and cattle and many tents, but the land could not support both Abram and Lot, all their flocks and herds living so close together. So disputes broke out between the herdsmen of Abram and Lot. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were also living in the land. Finally, Abram said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us and our herdsmen. After all, we are close relatives. The whole countryside is open to you. Take your choice of any section of the land you want, and we will separate. If you want the left, then I'll take the right. If you want the right, then I'll take the left." Lot took a long time to look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the beautiful lands of Egypt. This is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with flocks and servants and parted company with his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to the place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, "Look, as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, east and west, I am giving all this land as far as the eye can see to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants like the dust of the earth that they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I'm giving it to you." This is a massive change from the previous verses. This is the Lot that we love. He's selfless, he's honoring God, he worships God as they arrive at the altar together. He's living by faith and not by sight. And that was the issue in the previous verses. He was living by sight, he was looking at the famine, he was looking at the Egyptians, he was filled with fear. But now he's living by faith. He lets Lot choose whichever land he likes. Abraham, being the elder, could have assumed any land he wanted, and then Lot could have picked up the scraps. But Abram selflessly blesses Lot and allows Lot to choose any land he likes. And Lot takes his time, and Lot sees this land that is Eden-like. It is absolutely beautiful. It's well-watered everywhere. It would have been the most fertile land. And Lot scoops that up for himself. But Abraham doesn't live by sight in these verses. He knows the promise of God. He's known the deliverance of God in Egypt. No harm comes to Abraham and Sarah and Lot. And in fact, they are blessed with the gifts that Pharaoh gives him. And they're extremely wealthy. So God has known. Abraham has known God's provision and is reminded of the promise. And God appears to Abraham and reaffirms that promise, even after the disaster of Egypt and the selflessness, the selfishness of Abraham throwing his wife under the bus and endangering Pharaoh and his household. God reaffirms this unconditional covenant with Abraham. And Abraham, not living by faith, doesn't seek to provide for himself and his people. Instead, he's trusting in God, that God will provide and fulfill his promises and his covenant. His eyes have lifted from the famine, the Egyptians and the world to God and to God's promises. And God reaffirms that covenant. So let's lift our eyes this morning, look into God's word and God's promises for us, that our foot will not slip. He will not let our foot slip. Psalm 121, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that amazing poem that I read for us earlier, I'll bring it up just now, that the will of God will never take us, for the grace of God cannot keep us. I'll read the rest of that. for us just now. Maybe just close our eyes and listen to these words and know this truth in our life, wherever you're at, whatever circumstances, obstacles, famine that you face in your life. Cling to the truth of God's faithfulness, word, and goodness. The will of God will never take you where the love of God cannot enfold you, where the mercies of God cannot sustain you, where the peace of God cannot calm your fears, where the authority of God cannot overrule for you. The will of God will never take you where the comfort of God cannot dry your tears, where the word of God cannot feed you, where the miracles of God cannot be done for you, where the omnipresence of God cannot find you. Let's know that this morning, Lord. I pray that we would know deeply your goodness, your promises, your word in our life, that would be more of a reality than the difficulties, the challenges, the obstacles, the famines that we will face in this life, Lord. May we lift our eyes to you this morning, and may we do that as Ruth leads us in worship, and tonight as we join together in prayer, Lord, lifting our eyes, looking to you, knowing your truth, your goodness, your mercy upon us every day, Lord. Amen. God bless you and see you all soon.
I'm laying down. reach out and you find me in the dust. You say no amount of untruths can separate us. I reach out. Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who has taken part in our service today. Thank you for connecting with us today. And please, if you need help in any way at all, then do get in contact with us. Tonight at 6:30 p.m. we have our corporate Zoom prayer meeting. I like to refer to it as the power hour, from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. because there is power in prayer. And so please join us. And if you need the details for that, then contact Al or myself and we'll get them to you. Enjoy the rest of the day. Keep doing what you've been doing, what you've been excelling at over these last few months. And that's just watching out for those around you as you head on into this week. And may God bless you in the week ahead.